Well, good morning. I'm amazed again at how God puts together services, what Riley shared, and what I have to share this morning. It just seems like God is speaking to us as a church, and so I'm encouraged by that. And the sermon this morning that I was led to is entitled Sowing and Reaping. With Thanksgiving season is a good time to recommit our energies and time and lives to giving. Thanksgiving is thanks living, and you can just say we're called to just give back to the Lord. And I think that came through in Riley's devotional, what God is doing in their lives and in the life of our church. Sowing and reaping. You might be thinking of Galatians 6, where Paul says we're not to sow to, or the ones that are sowing to the flesh will reap corruption, and those that sow to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. There's a reaping time. And the verse that I want to use this morning is coming from 2 Corinthians. It's the analogy of sowing and reaping. But it says there in 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." So the law of sowing and reaping, and the encouragement and call to sow bountifully. And Thanksgiving time is truly a time to think about sowing. Riley shared about Mary just taking that bottle of ointment that was worth a year's wages and just giving it all at one time. And Judas, of course, had the money bag and he couldn't get a hold of that. And Jesus said, "Stop, stop, stop. That's true love, and that's really what I'm after." So I don't think Riley's on anymore, but just appreciated that this morning. And that's really at the heart of God when we think of sowing bountifully. There's a proverb that says, Proverbs 11:24 gives us this picture as well. It says in Proverbs 11:24, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that which withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty." And the picture there is one who is scattering. We don't sow in that way anymore, but years ago, if we go back in time long enough, they would picture the sowing. They would get out and spread the seed in that way, or some would just go out and into the fields and just scatter the seed. And the picture is the one that is scattering and yet increasing. And I love that picture. He's scattering and he's giving and he's blessing and he's sowing bountifully, and he's just pictured as one that's just going like this all through his life in many ways. He's just scattering his seed and sowing bountifully and yet increasing. And that's God. That's only God that can bring about increase from the giving and sacrificing and yet increasing. And yet there's one that is pictured as withholding, and he is not pictured as one that's scattering, but withholding, and he's yet tendeth to poverty. So, I want to look in the Bible, and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is a little harder text, and I will say that I struggled a bit to open this up until it started to make sense to me, The verse that I chose is taken from 2 Corinthians 9:6, and when I spent time to break open this context, I started to see what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But I say this to you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We see the picture of the sower and also a cheerful giver. Both of them is the one that's just scattering, and he loves doing it. And it's just, God loves to see a person like that. And I believe I'm preaching to a group of people like that. I am blessed by the generosity and the sacrificial commitment that you have to the Lord and the way that you're giving as a church. And so that is a blessing. And it is a sign of a spiritual life, graceful giving. So this is the context. I want to use two examples. The one example that I want to use is the Macedonian church. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is using the Macedonian churches as an example to encourage the Corinthian church who needs a little motivation. And so as you read and break open the text, you will find that that's what Paul is writing. That is the context Paul is writing. And so I'm going to try to open that up, and we're going to look at the example of the Macedonian church and the encouragement that Paul has given to the Corinthian church to bless the saints. So let's start at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do wit of the grace of God, or we want you to know of the grace of God, to wit. We don't really use that word, but we don't speak that way. We want you to know, is what he's saying. I want you to be encouraged and to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. But this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he hath begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So I'm going to stop there. But Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he was using the example of the Macedonian churches and what they were doing. Paul was organizing a collection for the saints or the Christians in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. There was a severe need, and you can read about that in Romans and 1 Corinthians 16. I may look at those verses where he was organizing this, and in the first letter he encouraged them to do that, and it appears that the Corinthian church was all excited, and yes, they all stood up and said, let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this. And now he's writing a year later and he's saying, hey, it's about time you get this done. And so that's the context. As we open this up, you'll see what Paul is writing to them. And he's saying that the Macedonian churches responded to this need, the ministering to the saints. There was a great need there, and the Macedonians were responding under trial and persecution. And they had difficult times. So he's looking at their situation, and he stood back in amazement at how they were facing hard times and yet so motivated and giving almost above their means. And so he's saying, I want you to know or be encouraged, verse 1, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches at Macedonia. In verse 5, he says that this is what happens when grace flows into our hearts, grace flows out of our hearts. And in verse 5, it says, they first gave of their own selves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So first of all, this is a picture of grace flowing into the hearts, and that's what he's saying here, that God's grace came to them and God's grace was flowing out of them, and they were an example of bountiful, sowing bountifully. Paul is using the Macedonian churches, and hopefully that is our situation here too, where we are an example of that, where the grace of God is flowing in and the grace of God is flowing out in many ways. So let's turn back and get the setting here to 1 Corinthians 16, where Paul was writing about this collection that he was organizing. And I was blessed to see this and put this together. In the first letter to the Corinthian church, he made the need known. And then he had organized the collection, and it was laid out very clearly how apparently they were asking Paul for advice how to collect and how to handle this collection and how to meet the need. And Paul responds to it in 1 Corinthians 16. In verse 1, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. So I'm going to stop there, but this is what Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians 16. He organized a collection. Titus was involved in this as well, and this was all for the Jerusalem Christians. And I believe you can also see here the Gentile churches responding to the Jewish churches or the Jewish people in Jerusalem. So there was this coming together of the Jews and Gentile Christians and touching and blessing their heart. There was difficulty between the Jews and Gentiles when they came together and the Gentiles came in. And so Paul here was showing that the grace of God is alive and working in the Gentile churches as well. And so this is what Paul is encouraging them to pick up as Paul writes the second letter to Corinthians in chapter 8. This still had not happened yet, and it was a year of time that passed by, and he's saying and using the Macedonian church as an example of great generosity in times of adversity. Grace was flowing into their hearts, and under trial and persecution, they were still producing the fruit of joy and generosity. What a blessing that was. A picture of joy in adversity and generosity in poverty is what the Macedonian churches were displaying. If you read in chapter 8, verse 10, it was 1 year's time, and also in chapter 9, verse 2. 8, verse 10, it says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And then in chapter 9, verse 2, it says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast to you, to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. What he's saying there is, I used your church, this church, the Corinthians, to encourage many other churches. Your zeal has encouraged many others, and the collections were coming in, and now it's time for you to carry out your commitment and to be generous in giving. And so that's where the context, Paul is saying, the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Jesus is also used as an example in chapter 8, verse 9, for you know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that for through his poverty we might become rich. So Jesus, I've used that verse many times, you have Jesus as an example there. He was very rich and he became very poor. He took the steps all the way down to become a servant, from all the riches of glory to the poverty of humanity. He never had anywhere to lay his head, and it was through his poverty that we became rich. And so that's a picture, a beautiful picture of Jesus coming all the way down from riches to poverty, and through his poverty we can become rich. And that principle of sowing generously, Jesus, of course, is the greatest example of that. So God loves a cheerful giver, and God loves to see those that are sowing bountifully, and there's rewards waiting. There's rewards for all those who are faithful to the Lord. We're going to look at that in the last part of the sermon here. I want to also look at one example of one who withholds. And that's Luke chapter 12. The rich fool was one who didn't connect with this principle of sowing bountifully and giving generously through his prosperity. In Luke 12, 13 to 21, we have a parable. Luke 12, 13, it says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So what was wrong with the rich fool? Why did Jesus call the rich man who was prospering a fool and very foolish? And it was because he didn't understand the principle of scattering and yet increasing more. Scattering and sowing bountifully is just a picture of, as a man or a person is prospering, he's scattering in so many ways. And I could use so many examples of ways to scatter seeds. It's more than just giving money. It's serving the Lord, and it's praying prayers. Brian mentioned Sid is here and Darlene is here. We were praying for you. And there were a lot of prayers, prayer warriors. And here God has answered that prayer. And so that is just one picture and one way of scattering and laboring in the kingdom of God. Just giving yourself in so many ways. But the rich fool said, I'm going to take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He wasn't a prayer warrior that I can see. He wasn't really interested in scattering and blessing missions. He wasn't interested in using his increases to build the kingdom of God. And he wasn't pictured as that one that's just scattering and scattering and scattering and yet increasing and increasing. And it's in this life and in the life to come. It's God and his economy, and it's so powerful. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giving is one who understands the principle of sacrifice. Jesus himself gave his life as a sacrifice, and he willingly died, and through that eternal life comes to the world. And so Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving time is a good reminder to recommit our energies to Thanksgiving and just giving, scattering generously and bountifully. In our home, when we, growing up in our home, I thought of this as I was preparing. We had a practice that after a meal, we would always pray before we ate, and then after a meal, we would return thanks. And I was like, I don't know why I didn't keep that one going. But yeah, we would eat a meal and give thanks before the meal. And after we're all done, Dad would say, now we're going to return thanks. And just a thankful heart for the meal and thankfulness and just a good practice. I just thought of that. So many ways that we can be giving thanks to the Lord and giving back to the Lord what he gives to us. Last point I'm going to share is reaping bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9, the text is this. He which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now that's a psalm, and I wish I had more time to open that up, but Paul is quoting a psalm here in verse 9. It's a psalm that he that hath dispersed abroad hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And so there's promises here that God is able to make all grace abound. I think the Macedonians are a perfect example of that. While they're giving and going through hard times, and I had to think of, I served on the Bald Eagle Boys Camp board for close to 30 years, and I saw that work from the very beginning, and the struggles that, and I had to think of this. There were times when we would have board meeting to board meeting, we would have just enough of money. And then the next board meeting, there was just enough of money, and we always had enough of money, but it was always just month to month to month. And it was good. And now today, I sit on the board as an advisory, on the advisory board, and God has just blessed that mission with almost too much money. And I've seen it go from that to they have the ice shack up there and the ITC and different ways that have really blessed the work at Bald Eagle. And many chiefs have went through there and developed in their relationship skills and pouring their lives into young boys and each other, and just that work. Seeing it go from times, and we talked about it at the last board meeting, you know, at what point do you have too much money? And which is better? living month to month to month to month. And I had to think of our situation here, our school. We're lifting an offering this morning for our school. And we're at that place now where we're starting a work, and it's just not an easy work, but everybody's just engaging, and we're going month to month. That's where we're at. Is there going to be enough? And that's where we're at, and it's hard. So which is better? And I'm just encouraging. That's where the Macedonians were at. I believe they were so driven by giving to the Jerusalem saints that they were in adversity, in poverty, and they were producing gifts that were amazing. And they were living through those times. And Paul is saying, here's an example. Here's an example of sowing bountifully. And yes, we also have a missionary family planting a church, Lord willing, in an unreached part of the world. And it adds another level of sacrifice and brings us back to that place time and time again. But I believe it's good. And God is saying here in this verse, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound, that ye always have all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. So keep on doing the work of God. And that's my encouragement to everyone here. I think I'm preaching to a Macedonian church. I really do. And I'm not here feeling like it's a year now, and it's about time to lift this offering. We're lifting many offerings, and many people are giving, and all people are working together. And so let's continue. Maybe I should say, let's continue being a Macedonian church that's pictured as one that's just scattering the seeds and gifts of all different gifts that we have here. So let's continue to sow bountifully, and there will be a day when we will reap. And I want to encourage you, just so the few verses, we don't have time to exhaust this point. And I believe that I'm not able to really explain in full what you will all reap. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even get a hold completely. All the things when we reap, when we sow bountifully and we're giving bountifully with good motives and right motives, I believe that that's very important as well, that our rewards will come according to our sacrifices and our giving to the Lord. It tells us that God has things prepared for those that love him, and for those that are laboring in him, for those that are serving in the kingdom, those that are teaching and preaching, those that are serving in the school, those that are serving on boards, those that are, whatever it is, I don't want to let anyone out here, but whatever you are involved in, I want to encourage you in your work, and remember that the Lord has promised he will reward you abundantly. It says in Corinthians that every man's work shall be made manifest. And I'm humbled at this verse. The context there again is 1 Corinthians 3, where sowing and reaping, some are sowing, some are watering, but God is giving the increase. There's many ways that people are involved in the kingdom. God is really the one that is doing the work, but there's people that are planting, there's people that are watering, there's people that are serving in all kinds of different ways, but it's God that gives the increase. And every man's work that you're working, whether you're planting, watering, encouraging, mentoring, whatever it is, every man's work and sacrifice and gifts and scattering the seed will be made manifest one day. It'll all be displayed on the screen, possibly. I don't know how God will do it, but it'll all come before you, and it'll be tried by the fire. And so all your works go through the fire to see what sort it is. And all the ones that are wood, hay, and stubble are burned up, there's no reward. You see all these gifts and people that are giving millions of dollars and their name is in the paper and they're publicized and they're great people. They have their reward. And when they get to heaven, if they get to heaven, it'll all be burned up. It's wood, hay, and stubble. But when our works are in tune with God, and that's what Paul is encouraging the Corinthians right here. He says that your works will be tried by the fire. All those that go through the fire, the works that are of gold, silver, and precious stones will endure the fire, and there will be rewards. And there will be bountiful rewards as you give bountifully. So there's also crowns promised, many crowns. Paul says, I fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but all them that love his appearing. So Paul was encouraged, Paul was assured that he fought the good fight. He kept the faith. He was faithful unto the end. And he said, because of this, I've kept the faith. And there's a crown of righteousness the Lord hath prepared for me. He's going to wear the crown of righteousness. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. And 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Those are a few of the crowns that are promised, just to give you a picture of the rewards that will be coming to those that are faithful. So in conclusion, Thanksgiving is a time to recommit our lives to Thanksgiving and giving primarily. Thanksgiving is thanks living, and so I want to encourage you all, as you have opportunity, be like the one pictured in Proverbs there who's scattering, is living his whole life scattering, and he's yet increasing, giving to the poor, teaching, preaching, missions, schools, evangelism. There's so many ways. So just continue sowing bountifully, because the Lord loves cheerful giving. He loves graceful giving, and those that give from a heart of love for God and service to God. We have an example of the Macedonian churches. Graceful giving, so let's be like the Macedonians. We also have an example in the Bible of the rich fool who thought he had prospered, but the Lord Jesus called him a fool because he didn't get a hold of this principle. He didn't understand this principle, and he lived his life just thinking about what he can get for himself rather than just scattering and serving and blessing the kingdom of God. So Lord bless you this Thanksgiving season. It was a blessing to have our family home for a Thanksgiving meal. We had ours Friday, and we're just so blessed. And I was encouraged to just share that with others as we have opportunity. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible and the verses we looked at, which call us to sowing bountifully, and the promise that we will reap bountifully if we're willing to sow. Bless our church here. Bless Riley and Katharina. I pray for the Isala people. Pray that you would open up doors of opportunity. The Word of God could reach that village. And I pray that we could all together take steps of faith to a people that are yet unreached. And pray that you would protect them and keep them safe. Pray for our school and the work of our school. Provide for our school and bless the teachers and the board and the families that represent our Christian school. And just... pray that you would just shower your grace upon us as we sow in the kingdom of God. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.